Acts chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. Everybody say the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, what is that promise? That promise is what was spoken of in the book of Luke chapter number 24. When he told them to go to Jerusalem and to tarry there and to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter number 2, the promise is given. And then here in verse number 39, we began to talk about the promise a little bit more. And he said that the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and beginning at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Don't ever stop without saying through faith. There's a lot of people that say, oh, we're saved by grace. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Through faith in what? Well, we know that it's through faith in what the Lord tells us. Amen. In other words, if I do what the Lord tells me, that alone right there is grace. And so if I do what he tells me, then that is faith doing it. What he tells me is the grace. Let me back up and rephrase that. What he tells us to be saved is grace. When we do what he tells us to be saved, that's faith. That's faith. Let me put that example to you in Noah's day and age. You've heard me say that before. Grace was, Noah, if you'll build an ark, you can be saved. And this is how big you're going to have to build it, how tall you're going to build it, how wide you're going to build it. That was grace. Faith was, if I build this ark, I'm going to be saved. And so he built the ark, he got on the ark, and he was saved. That is what by grace you are saved through faith. By grace you are saved, we are saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Say gift. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. Now, I stand before you tonight. I'm not necessarily perplexed in my spirit, but you know, it was only just a couple of weeks ago that I preached along these lines, and I feel just led just to go at it again tonight from a little bit different angle. And so I'm going to preach to you tonight this thought: salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Amen. Praise God. Let's just ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you and we appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We stand before you in honor, in reverence of your word and of your spirit. God, we humble ourselves in your presence, Lord. God, and we are asking you to help us, Lord, to enlighten us, not just of your word and God, but of your spirit and of your purpose today. I pray, God, that the word would go forth tonight and that it would not return void, but that your spirit, God, would do the work that is necessary and needed. God, you know where it needs to go. You know what you are trying to accomplish. Many times you are just building us up and establishing us in the faith. God, even being redundant in areas, Lord, and it is safety for our sake. And I pray, God, that your word would accomplish what it has come to do tonight, and we will be quick to give you the glory and the praise in the honor and the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together and just magnify him tonight. Would you lift your voice as you do that and give him thanks?
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We all love to receive gifts. Amen. Gifts typically tend to be good. And, you know, even on Father's Day when you get another tie or another pair of socks, that's good. Because socks wear out and ties grow old. And so we don't necessarily sell our ties or give our ties away, because that fad and that fashion is going to come back around in another few years. And then everybody will think you got a new tie and you're just pulling out something that you had from way back when. Amen. But it's always good to receive gifts. The Bible does say that it's better to give than to receive. And so we give gifts, but we also receive gifts. I am oftentimes perplexed about some of these commercials that I hear, especially on maybe, can I say like this, nonprofit radio stations and such, such as Focus on the Family, of how they say, if you will send in a gift of $25, we will give you a free book. Okay. Send in a gift of $25, we'll give you a free book. My thoughts is I just paid for that book. Yeah. But that's not the way that all gifts are. Amen. And so we have just alluded to and used a couple of scriptures here tonight concerning a gift that has been offered and given unto us. And it is the gift of salvation, the gift of salvation. And so Peter said that when we repent and we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, that we should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so that tells us of the gift. And in Ephesians, Paul writing there says that we are saved by faith, saved by grace, through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. He said that it is not of works, lest any man should boast. A couple of Sunday mornings ago, we addressed this in depth, and we have come to the conclusion that it just simply means when it says not of works. That just simply means that because that you are a good person, just because that you do good things does not mean that you are saved. Amen. You cannot do whatever you want to do, amen, and then just say, well, I have not lied, I have not cussed. I gave $10 to the homeless man down there on the corner today, and I went and I helped the Baptist and the Methodist church hand out meals and pass out meals and such, and I did this for this. Those things do not save you. If that's what saves you, then Nicodemus was a saved man. Nicodemus was a very religious man, and he had quite a bit of money, and he was esteemed even in the Sanhedrin. And yet Jesus told him that except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you don't have enough money to buy your way into heaven. You don't have enough good works to force your way into heaven. Nicodemus, you don't have enough accolades, enough titles, enough degrees, enough knowledge, enough talent, enough good nature. You don't have enough of anything to get into heaven. The only way you're going to get into heaven is you must be born again. Amen. He said you must be born again of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know that there are those that want to say, we're not saved by works. I just want you to know that the apostolic Pentecostal belief believes the same way. You're not saved by works like that, but you are saved when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you are saved when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Without that, you're not saved. Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of degrees you have on the back side of your name, what titles you have on the front side of your name, how much money you've got in your bank account. It doesn't matter anything. Amen. You've got to be born again of water and the Spirit if you are going to be saved. Praise God. That's not my doctrine. That's not the Pentecostal doctrine. That's not the apostolic doctrine. That's God's doctrine. That's God's work. There is no other way around it. And you know what we can do? We have the authority and we have the right to say, I don't believe that. But that does not make you right. Amen. You're going to have to take these scriptures and eradicate them out of the Bible, eradicate them out of your life, and you're still not going to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one door. And Jesus said, except you come through me, he said, you're a thief and a robber. There's no way to do it. You must be born again. We see a very unique situation concerning a young man that came running unto Jesus in Mark chapter number 10. And the Bible teaches us that this young man came and said unto him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandment. Now I want you to listen to all of these works. We're not saved by works. Let me just tell you something. If you don't obey these works, you're not going to be saved. He said, everything that he listed here is works. He said, do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And the young man answered and said unto Jesus, master, all of these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross, and follow me. Praise God. Now, some people would say, well, why didn't he say go be baptized? And why didn't he say go receive the Holy Ghost? Well, you know what? That's too easy of a question to answer. Amen. Even he went and said these things. And he said, you know, these things haven't happened because I haven't been glorified yet. Amen. You know, there at that point, there had been no Calvary. There had been no crucifixion. There had been no death. There had been no burial. There had been no resurrection. And so there was no need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. No need to, the gift of the Holy Ghost was not given at that particular time. Amen. They were still living under the law at that particular time, but there would come a day. There would come a day, but Jesus would even look at his disciples and he would tell them, he would said, except that a man would take up his cross and follow after me, amen, he can have no part with me. You can have no part with me. And so he's got to take up his cross. And so this is alluded in the book of Luke chapter number 24 when Jesus was speaking there and he said that it behooved Christ to suffer and to die. Amen. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. And then he told the disciples, he said, go to that Jerusalem and tarry or wait there until the promise of the Father is come upon you. And the promise that was there. So now we know in the book of Acts chapter number 2 when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all there in one place in one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. And so now we know that they come out of that upper room and they're speaking in tongues, and we're not going to get into all of that there tonight, but I've often heard some people say that they only feel like it was the disciples that were talking in tongues, and what I want to say is, wow, that's a phenomenal miracle then. Amen. Because there's 16 nationalities, 12 disciples, and yet all 16 nationalities hear them speak, 12 people speak in 16 languages. Amen. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so then Peter begins to preach unto them, and somebody says, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen, amen. Some 34 years ago, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And thank God it didn't cost money because I didn't have any money. Amen. Thank God it didn't cost, amen, anything because I didn't have anything. Amen. I was rather embarrassed by the things that I had. Amen. We as a family were probably rather embarrassed by the things that we had. Amen. But the Bible says that it was the gift of the Holy Ghost. God gave his precious Spirit, amen, unto all of us. If you've been baptized, you've and repented of your sins, you've received the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, amen, you have got the gift of God. You've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Amen. Paul was talking a little bit later, and he said, by grace are you saved. Amen. In other words, you're getting what you did not deserve. You didn't deserve heaven. You didn't deserve salvation. You didn't deserve good things. You didn't deserve to be brought up out of the world. You didn't deserve all of your addictions to be broken. You didn't deserve all of those things, but the grace of God was good to you because that you were obedient to the word of God. And he said, it is the gift of God. Amen. It was not your works, but it was the gift of God that it was given unto you. And so I'm here tonight to proclaim to you that salvation, amen, is free, but it's not cheap, because that God gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. But yet the Bible begins to teach us through the remainder of the word of God when he said, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own, for you are bought
bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, God gives you the Holy Ghost, but then your body becomes His temple. Amen. And He uses it to bring glory unto Himself.
Praise God. We know the story of the slave that is standing on the auction block because of the things that he has done. Maybe just the family that he was born into. And so are we born into sin, shapen by iniquity, as we are standing there and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we say we have no sin, John says, we lie and the truth is not in us. But I'm so thankful that he didn't stop there, but he continued on and he said that Jesus Christ is the propitiation, amen, for our sins, and not just for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. And we can make our petition known unto Him. We can ask Him to forgive us. And He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. But I want you to know there's a price that comes with that. Amen. As God steps up to the podium and He says, look, He said, I'll take that one right there. And He buys you. Amen. And you get the grace. You get mercy. But thank God you get salvation. But through it all, you've got to live for Him. Through it all, you've got to give your body unto Jesus and let Him receive glory through it all.
Praise God. I almost preached tonight, and I feel that this is more of a prequel to a couple of different messages, maybe a prequel to Sunday nights, but then a prequel as we go in depth more into holiness. But I almost preached from the subject tonight. My body is His temple. Praise God. My body, but His temple. We must bear that in mind. We must continue to remember that. We have to remember that. And so, you know, there's things that you desire to do. And it ought to be, even as the Lord would say, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our strength. Which just simply implies that before I do some things, I seek first the counsel of God. Before I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, before I give my emotions away, I seek the counsel of God. Before I begin to do some things, I seek first the counsel of God. Before I begin to plan some things, I seek first the counsel of God. Why? I'm not my own. I know that this is my life, and I know that I can do whatever I desire to do, and God's not going to hold me. But friend, we don't believe in a once saved, always saved doctrine. Amen. And you can fall away, amen, from the grace of God. God will let you walk out just like He allowed. Amen. The Father allowed the prodigal son to walk away. But friend, I want to stay in the Father's house. Amen. I want to stay in the favor of the Father.
And so my body is His temple. Amen. And so I make sure as we go over into, I'm not going to take the time to go there, but as we would go over into 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, as we would go over into there, and as Paul begins to talk about what communion hath these things with one another, and what fellowship has these things with one another, and he is saying, you got to remember that you belong to God. And so he finalized and he said, wherefore come out from among them.
and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He goes on to say, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, what is the promise? He said, if you'll separate yourself, amen, if you won't touch this world, if you'll be separated, he said, I'll receive you, I'll help you, I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters unto me. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all of the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Amen. It's my body, but it's his temple. He's telling me how to live. He's telling me what pleases him. Oh, I want to please him. I want to have that relationship with him. I want him to be happy with me. I want him to be pleased with me. I want to find favor with him. You know what it cost? It cost my life. He laid down his life for me. I laid down my life for him. I'm almost done. And people look at us and they consider us strange and they consider us crazy. I don't understand why you do the things that you do. First of all, you don't understand where he brought us from. You don't understand the road that we were on when he found us. I was lost in a sinful world, but he found me and he drew me and he called me by name, and he was the propitiation. He was a sacrifice for me. He redeemed my soul. He sanctified me. Worms such as I, no good for nothing, on my way to a devil's hell, just a rebellious, obnoxious teenager. And God sanctified me. Somehow or another, he saw more in me than I saw in myself. Somehow or another, he saw more in me than other people saw in me. But in other words, what he said in my sanctification is he pulled me out and he set me apart for a specific purpose. He said, I've got a plan for you. He even told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. I knew you then. And I sanctified you then. And I ordained you to be a prophet then. Amen. It was up to Jeremiah to find that place. I'm just saying, there's things that God wants to do within us. There's power that God wants to manifest within us. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to have power and to have favor with God. There's so many things that God wants to do and God wants to expound upon. Amen. But it's your body, but it's his temple. And if you will understand that, you won't have a problem with a dress code. You won't have a problem with a hair doctrine. You won't have a problem with standards. You won't have a problem with separation, because it's my body, but it's his temple. It's his temple. It's his temple. Let's stand here tonight. It's his temple. Praise God. I just feel in my spirit today that this church is at a level that it would be so easy for us to cross over and to go beyond. And I feel like a lot of it's going to start right here. It's my body, but it's his temple. And I consecrate it unto him. I consecrate it unto him. You know, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Now, we can sit there and we can try to justify and we can say, well, I know that they're not in church and I know that this, but I also know, I know that they love God. That's anti-scriptural as much as we want to believe it. He said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. It's not there. It's not there. And he said, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I was reminiscing concerning evangelizing. And I remember preaching Estacada, Oregon. And there was a man that came to the altar in the night. And the pastor came up to me and he said, no, Brother Cowan, he said, this man has been seeking the Holy Ghost for 6 years. And it's what becomes what we call chronic seekers. And I just say, it's not the will of God for anybody to be a chronic seeker. You know how I know that? Because the Bible said it's a gift. It's that simple. It's a gift. It's a gift. If I took this pen and said, Brother Daniel, I want to give you this pen. It's a gift. All he has to do is put his hand out and receive it, and it's his. You say, well, why are there those that don't get the Holy Ghost? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I'm not lowering myself to get into that baptismal tank. Or what about the young man that just was very rich and had a lot of goods? And Jesus told him, he said, go sell what you have, take up your cross and follow after me. And he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. You see, when somebody doesn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a problem. There's a problem that's there. It could be unbelief. It could be lust of the flesh. It could be the lust of the eyes. It could be the pride of life. And I will be honest with you and tell you that many, 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 many times it's the pride of life. And so you know what I did? I went down there and I talked to that young man. He wasn't a young man. I went down there and I talked to that man. And began to talk to him about what the Holy Ghost is. It's a gift. And I said, if you have cleansed yourself, if you have cleansed yourself of all the things of this world, and if you are ready to live for God, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I said, your pastor said you've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 6 years. He said, yes, sir. And I said, so you tell me, what is it? Why haven't you got it? And he just kind of looked at me and he said, well, he said, I don't know. I said, oh, but you do know. You do know. I said, there is something. Whether you don't want to believe the doctrine, you don't want to, there's something there that's hindering. And I said, if you'll give that thing to God, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost immediately. And I saw a tear begin to fall down his eye. And I said, right there, if you'll just give that to God, God will take care of it and fill you with the Holy Ghost. I said, if you want the Holy Ghost and you're ready to do that, just lift your hands. He lifted his hands. We prayed for him and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost within seconds. It's a gift. It's a gift. And God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be saved more than I want you to be saved. I could think about my closest, dearest, loved one. Say, how I wish that they were saved. I guess I should say,
lost loved one. How I wish that they were saved. I say that God wants to see them saved more than I want to see them saved. He's died for them. Salvation is free. But it's not cheap. You don't get to continue to live the way that you've always lived. You don't get to continue to do the things that you've always done. For the Bible said that He came to save you from your sins. Not in your sins. From your sins. You say, well, I just don't believe. He's not asking us to believe all of these other things. It's settled. It's done. That the Bible says that His word is forever settled. It's not up for debate. It's not up for change. As a matter of fact, we can't take one thing out. We can't add one thing to it. Well, I just don't know if I believe all that. It's not up to that. That's what I must believe it if I want to be saved. And if I do, salvation is free. Salvation is free. It's a gift. But it cost me my entire life. But oh, what an exchange. I got off cheap. I got off cheap. Because my friend, I should be in a burning lake of fire for an eternity. I'm not proud of the things that I've done. You're not proud of the things that you've done. God's good. God's good. Amen. Hallelujah.